Thank you. Well, welcome back to our study of Romans. We have a little introduction to this book before we dive right in and start reading the scriptures. So, yes, Paul did. He is the author of Romans, but he didn't physically write it. He had a scribe, Tertius, or however you would like to pronounce it, who actually wrote. He was his scribe, and you can find that in the 16th chapter of Romans. And this book is actually, the book of Romans is believed to be the sixth epistle written by Paul when you look at the chronology of his epistles. The book of Romans is believed to have been written in Corinth during Paul's third visit to Corinth, which would date this epistle, this letter, around 57 A.D.
These are all just, don't set this up and teach it as doctrine, okay? These are just beliefs of the scholars and historians, okay?
And it is believed that the letter to the Romans was written in Corinth while Paul was staying with Gaius. So now let us go ahead and start reading in chapter 1. And if y'all will follow along with me, then we'll stop along the way and talk about some important points. So Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle and singled out for God's good news.
Let's break these things down as we go. The Greek actually says, it's the Greek word doulos, it's a slave, not diakonos, you know, it's a servant. And I don't know, a lot of you, some of your translations are afraid to say slave. I guess they don't want to offend or whatever, but I'm going to tell you, we've got to wake up and face reality, okay? Now, the reason that's so important is a servant works for hire.
Mm-hmm.
A slave is owned by the master, okay? And so he's at the master's beckoning call, if you will. And so Paul's identifying himself not as one who works for reward, but one who is owned by the master. And then where it says called, actually that is he's been appointed as an apostle, which if you look at that definition, it's a delegate. In other words, he's sent out. A delegate is one sent out to represent someone else, right? And so this is what he's saying, you know, I'm a slave. About representing the master. We need to get that mentality because my master appointed me to do this. Okay?
And I appreciate that phrase, and singled out for God's good news. And yours says, and separated, King James, separated unto the gospel of God.
Now, here again, look at that. You can read right over this. He was in bondage to religion. Religion had him captured. But once he had the encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, he has now separated himself from religion. And now he's set apart to the gospel. He was a zealot for Judaism, you understand? But now he's set apart. He's separated from that. I've come out of that to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what separated him. Okay.
You know, we started our study looking at the difference between law and grace and not trying to be good enough, but just to accept the love that Jesus has extended. And his grace, his mercy. The point I'm making with all this is there was a time that I would read this and I would think, well, that's just for Paul. That could never be for me because I'm not good enough. But you think about all of us, being singled out. We all have been singled out in some way or another. Just the fact, and we talked about this the other night, if you'll remember, how the Father draws us to His Son. In order to do that, He's singling us out. And all of us are called in different directions. The Lord will tell you, give you an assignment. He'll place something in your heart that He would like to have you to do, a special, whatever the case may be. He wants you to be a teacher or an apostle or whatever. He wants you to go help somebody in Walmart.
But you know, Paul was an exception to even to the rule of his own writing, where he said God doesn't choose many noble, not many wise. Paul was an educated man.
Mm.
He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee, the strictest of the sect of that day, you understand. He had the credentials, and he said, by law, I was blameless. Well, in other words, man, I kept the letter of the law. Do you follow all that? But at the time he's being such a zealot for religion, he's also in direct opposition to God persecuting Christians. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so he was not just your average common person, but he forsook it all. Separated himself from that. He said, forgetting that stuff that's behind me. I count it as rubbish, garbage. And that's where we have to get to the place to where it's not us. It's not our education. If anything good's coming out of us is God.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to understand that and stay focused on Him. Paul said there's nothing good dwelling in this flesh. He came to the realization. See, prior to that, he thought he was Mr. Goody Two Shoes, you understand. He thought he was right. But when he had an encounter with Jesus, it revealed to him who he was. You show the house to the house. And I'm going to tell you, when you start comparing, compare yourself to Jesus.
Mm.
And you'll come up short. You with me? And so this is what brought realization to him, and it turned his life totally from the religious mindset into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now he's doing what he does out of a love for God. He was doing the other out of a duty, trying to get favor with God and all that. Now his love motivates. I mean, think about that. Even in the natural, love motivates. You love someone, you want to do for that person. God loved us so much, He wanted to do something for us to redeem us. Well, He wants us to love Him so much that it motivates us to represent Him. And this is exactly what Paul's doing here.
So remember that phrase, singled out for God's good news, which He promised long ago. The good news He promised long ago through His prophets and the Holy Scriptures.
Now, look at what He says. If embedded in the Old Testament was Jesus.
Mm.
So there's various prophecies from this place, from this place, from this person, from this person. It's actually pointing to, it's giving you good news. Messiah's coming. They had an anticipation and looked for the Messiah. Sadly, they didn't recognize the Messiah. Okay.
Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was a descendant of David according to the flesh.
Now this, note this, what you're getting is a contrast, and this is what I want us to follow through Romans. You're getting a contrast. By David, being born from Mary. You understand that was a physical birth that identified him as the Son of Man. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's the Son of Man, the seed of David, which God had promised. He said, David, you're not going to build me a house, I'm going to build you a house. And it was referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, his seed. Okay? So seed of David, so his lineage could be traced physically to David. Actually, if you look at Matthew and Luke, which gives the lineage, one given of Joseph, one given of Mary, evidently. What's it doing? It traces back to David.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's just to show that God's word's true. So the genealogies do have a purpose. Yeah.
And who had been declared to be the powerful Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness.
Now think about this. Jesus was the first begotten from the dead. This day I have begotten you. Okay? And so now what you're seeing is David was physical, now you're seeing the spiritual side. And so the physical relates to David, the spiritual relates to God. The physical with us relates to Adam. But once we're born again, we're related to God. And I want you to see the contrast, flesh, spirit. And this is what Romans is going to show you. It's going to show you a contrast between the flesh and the spirit. People must get their attention off the natural. If you don't, you'll act naturally. You say, I can't. But if you get your mind on the Spirit, you'll say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See the difference?
Okay. I want to mention this real quick. The Lord of Us.
Okay.
Not in translations. Do you remember that?
Do what now?
We looked at that phrase, the Lord of Us, that was omitted. You looked at it in verse 4. It was omitted from verse 4. Remember. Okay. Verse 5. What I'm talking about, just to give you a frame of reference here. When you go and you study the scriptures, you're going to find that when you, whatever translation you read, some phrases may be left out, not even put in your translation at all. And that's what he found to be the case with looking at this in Romans. Verse 5. We have received grace and apostleship through him to bring about obedience.
Actually, that should be commission.
Mm-hmm.
We have received grace and commission is what Paul. Mm-hmm. I know Paul's the apostle. I'm not taking anything away from that. But the commission, to me, carries a greater force right here. I've been commissioned by God. Okay.
We have received grace and commission through him to bring about the obedience of faith among all the nations on behalf of his name.
Now note what the grace is for and what the commission's for.
Mm-hmm.
It's related to faith. Obedience to the faith. Not obedience to the law, but obedience to faith. Okay?
Including yourselves who also belong to Jesus Christ by calling. To all who are in Rome.
Called means invited. You're invited to Jesus. Okay.
To all who are in Rome, loved by God, called as saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father.
I want to show you something here. What are you invited to be?
Saints. Mm-hmm.
Don't you dare call yourself a sinner if you've been born again.
Mm.
Don't you tell me you're an old sinner saved by grace. You're either an old sinner or you're saved. You're not both. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
We were sinners. But once we're saved by grace, now we're saints. And so don't identify with the sin. Identify with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you speak over yourself all the time, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace, you will always see yourself coming up short. You'll always see yourself as a sinner. You'll never see yourself as God wants you to see. See yourself in Jesus. That's what he's wanting you to look at. And I guarantee you there's no sin in Jesus. Are you with me? And so if you've been guilty of saying that phrase, get it out of your vocabulary. I was a sinner, but now I've been saved by grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay?
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because the news of your faith is...
What's spoken of? Not their works.
Mm-hmm.
So he's commending them for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's just say it this way. He's commending them because they have embraced Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah. So he's commending them for believing in Jesus, which the Jews, the majority of the Jews, did not believe Jesus was the Christ. And so he's commending these people here in Rome for believing in Jesus as the Christ. Okay? That's what this is about when he talks about the faith. All right?
Says, the news of your faith is being reported in all the world. For God, whom I serve, my translation reads with, but it should be in my spirit, in telling the good news about his Son, is my witness that I constantly mention you.
Now, I want you to look at something here. God is my witness. I serve God in my spirit, or by my spirit. We think of serving God by our flesh. That's where most people live. They live with a mindset of serving God by the flesh. No, you serve God by the spirit, and the spirit will direct the body what to do. You follow me? But most people are guilty of trying to serve God by the flesh. And then when you have that mentality, it's a works mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You're serving God by what you do rather than by what you believe. Okay?
So he said that he constantly mentions you, always asking in my prayers, that if it is somehow in God's will, I may now at least succeed in coming to you. For I want very much to see you, so I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you.
Now, think about that. He knows he has something to give.
Mm-hmm.
Most Christians don't know that. Paul says, the reason I want to come see you is not for what you can give me, but for what I can give you. Why do most ministers go do this, this, this? For what they can give or for what they can get? Now, let each one of them answer that, okay? But Paul says, I want to come to you because I want to impart to you a spiritual gift. I have something to offer Jesus, the Holy Spirit. You understand? Gifts of the Spirit operating through me. He's not being egotistical. He's confident in who he is in Christ Jesus, okay?
And he wants to give that to strengthen them. He says, some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that I often planned to come to you, but was prevented until now, in order that I might have a fruitful ministry among you, just as among the rest of the Gentiles.
Now, look at this. I don't want you to be ignorant. Okay? So, I'm going to inform you. I've wanted to come to you before, but I was hindered. Now, you know, a lot of people don't understand this, and I don't have the full concept. People think if God said it, it's just going to happen. There's opposition to that. And it may not happen in our timetable. It's not that it won't happen. But so often we read into it. Paul says, I was wanting to come to you early. Well, Paul was wanting to go to Bithynia. Mm-hmm. Paul was wanting to go to Asia. But it wasn't the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I was hindered. Something prevented that from happening. Okay? We were planning to go to Haiti, but something prevented that from happening. So I can't say that, you know, this was God's timing. Because God knew all this before. I'm just saying that we made plans. You understand? And it didn't work out. Well, you don't abort the trip. So what do? You seek the timing of God. And when you go in God's timing, you're going to be more effective. Okay?
I am obligated both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. So I am eager to preach the good news to you also who are in Rome.
What's a debtor? Someone who owes someone something? Here's the way Paul saw himself. I am in debt to you. I owe you the gospel. I owe it to you. A lot of times we want to hoard what's given to us.
Mm-hmm.
But what's given to us is to give. God's economy is circulation. Distribution. That's God's economy. And it keeps coming. You understand? It comes in, it goes out. It comes in, it goes out. It comes in, it goes out. That's when it's producing. Hoarding's not producing. You with me? You know what the churches, the modern day church is trying to do? It's trying to hoard. It doesn't want to release people. It wants to see how many it can get under one roof. And God never said for us to get them to come. The commission is to go. Now, it's so plain, I don't know why we miss it. And we think, no, you're supposed to come to us. No, go. Go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. We've got to get this right. We're in debt. You with me? To people, I owe you the gospel. That was Paul's mentality. It doesn't matter what your background is, whether this translation uses the word barbarian, it sounds a little savage to say barbarian, but actually what he's saying is, I owe the gospel to the Jews, those of my nationality, and to the foreign people who are not of my nationality. I owe the gospel to everyone. I'm not selective. I preach the gospel wherever I go. And he did. Jews or Gentiles. Right? No prejudice involved. You with me? Okay.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek.
Now, look at that. I'm not ashamed of what I used to be against. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's why I'm not ashamed of it. Because in that message, the good news is God's power. God's power is inherent in the message. The power's there. It just has to be released. The power to what? The power to save. And then there, here again, that's an inclusive word. Save, heal, deliver. To the Jew first, then also to the Greek. Jesus went to the Jew. But he didn't exclude the Gentiles. He died for the Gentiles too, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Cast the devil out, the sour foundation was his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even in the Old Testament, you know, Naaman was a Syrian. He was the Jew, healed of leprosy. The widow Zarephath, she wasn't a Jew. God, it's not that God has just this little exclusive circle, you know, a clique. No, he's reaching out, but it went to the Jew first. It went to Abraham's seed first. He had a promise with Abraham. He went through. But he said to this, that all nations of the earth would be blessed through your seed, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And so within inherent within that gospel is a power of God to save. But here's the key. You have to believe. To save whom? Those who believe. Those who believe. It's not an automatic thing. Hearing the message is not automatic. You have to connect to it. You have to believe in it. You have to exercise faith in it. And then the next verse even goes farther. If you want to read 17
sir.
With that.
For in it, God's righteousness is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
And so here's what the gospel does. It reveals righteousness. It reveals that Jesus Christ is your righteousness, which is what 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says. Now, isn't it interesting how religion has tried to get you righteous? But you believe yourself, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He's made him to be sin for us, and you know sin. Why? So that we could be made the righteousness of God. How? In him, not apart from him.
Mm-hmm.
People are trying to get righteous outside of Jesus. That's an impossibility. Isaiah said that our righteousness is filthy rags. No, we believe ourselves. The gospel tells us that Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Jesus Christ gets us into right standing with God. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. How? From faith to faith. It starts in faith, it ends in faith. As it is written, what? The just live, not by the law. The law will not justify you. The law condemns you. And so if you're trying to live by the law, you're living under condemnation. The just live by faith. That's why the gospel message of Jesus Christ is so important. Because it's telling you what God has done for you that's not requiring any performance on your part, but what it does require is for you to believe it. What did Jesus say? What work do we do? Your work's to believe on the one God sent. That's our work.
Mm-hmm.
Believing on the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then anything else that we do be motivated by what we because of what we believe. If you're with me on that, okay.
For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth.
Now, you know, the King James Version is very misleading here. It says who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And what he's saying is God's wrath revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who express. Okay, there is a difference, or pardon me, it's suppress, not express, who suppress the truth. What's going on in the world today?
Yeah.
Unrighteous men are trying to suppress the truth. Here's the sad part of that. Much of the unrighteousness of men is being done through the church, through the religious system, is suppressing the truth because they're not in right standing with God. They're in right standing with an organization. We're talking about the Creator God being in right standing with the one who made you. Do I agree with Him? Or am I trying to usurp His authority over me? Do I think I'm wiser than God? And the world today thinks they're wiser than God. Religion today thinks it's wiser than God. How do I know that? Because it's not following God. If you're not following God, then you think you're smarter than God. And we're not.
Since what can be known about God is evident among them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, that is, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what He has made.
Here again, creation manifests or reveals God. But isn't it interesting how people worship what was created, not the one who created? If you go out in with a sane mind and just look around you, and you look at the trees, the flowers, the sky at night, the stars, the constellations, the moon, the sun during the day, you look at that and you know that somebody bigger than you made all this, unless you want to give it a big bang. Okay, I've got a theory on that too, okay? But when I look at the creation, to me, it testifies there's a creator. It's a witness of a creator. And so man's without excuse.
Yeah.
I've never been anywhere in the world that people didn't worship something. If it's just themselves. But they're looking for something. They'll fabricate a god. They'll carve something out of a piece of wood. Or they'll worship the sun or the moon or whatever. But inherent in man is that knowledge of there's somebody bigger than me. Okay? And it didn't come out of a Big Bang. I had a guy to tell me one time he believed in the Big Bang. But, boom, and it just happened. I said, that's absolutely ludicrous. That'd be like walking by a junkyard and throwing a stick of dynamite in there and a Cadillac come out. It ain't going to happen. You understand? It's not going to happen. No. If it's a bang, it's bang, God did it. God said. And He brought it into existence. Okay. And so it testifies. Now this first chapter of Romans will refute the teaching that's going on and the promotion of all the stuff that's going on today with all the liberals, especially against homosexuality. Okay. And lesbianism. If you read the first chapter of Romans, you can't believe in it and you can't support it. And if you're supporting it, you're embracing it, you're sympathizing it to it, you're an enemy of God. Because God hates it. Okay, and I think our time's about up here.
Okay, yes, sir.
Okay, so we don't want to get right up in the middle. It's like getting off the horse in the middle of the stream, you know. Let's get on it at the right time, okay? Just pardon my expressions. I mean, that's just who I am. I don't try I grew up with that stuff, okay? I wasn't noble born. I'm one of those foolish that Paul talks about, okay? Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us. You give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered. And those who hate you, flee before you. Amen. All right, you guys remember there's a difference between flesh and spirit. We're trying to do right and be right. Just be.